Good morning. This is Sunday, June 2nd, 2013. In today's meditation, the subject came up, and the experience came up, conscious union with God. There's even a book out, one of the Infinite Way books, called Conscious Union with God. Do you know what that experience is? Because it's the whole purpose of all of the thousands of miles, all of the lectures and classes and meditations that Joel put forth for you, so that you might have the experience known as conscious union with God. Have you had that experience after these many years of study? Do you know what it is to feel consciously one with God? Are you consciously aware of God and you being one? I think it's abundantly clear now that the purpose of prayer is to have an inner experience of the living presence of your own true identity, of God within, and feeling the movement of that presence as your inner being is conscious union with God. You're consciously aware of oneness. The infinite, invisible, inner spiritual kingdom, inner spiritual omnipresence, flowing into manifestation, appearing as form, as your outer life, and having the conscious awareness of that experience, really the conscious awareness of Genesis in you. This is conscious union with God. And this is what we've been discussing. For many years, we practiced knowing these truths mentally, perhaps repeating them to ourselves with our eyes closed, maybe remembering them and reciting them to ourselves many times throughout the day. And all of that was good and necessary because it took us out of the mind that plots and plans and schemes into a state of receptivity. And if we persisted in that state of receptivity, then we began to experience, and here I'm going to say realization instead of realization, because someone pointed that out to me and I looked it up and they were right, so I will try to remember realization, even though I like realization. Okay, so all of these experiences, this receptivity, gets us to a point of realization of oneness, conscious union with God. Now, if we never practice the presence, which is what we were told to do in the book with the same name, If we never practice remembering God when we took a bite to eat, or remembering God when we woke up in the morning, or remembering God when we walked out the front door, remembering God throughout the day and night, if we never practice that, then we've left out a critical part. Disciplining ourselves to remember God, to almost pray without ceasing. And that's a mental exercise. Yes, indeed, it is. But that's a critical part of our first steps toward conscious union with God and living a life consciously at one with God. And if we never practiced meditation in the morning, in the afternoon, in the evening, and at night, if we never practiced listening, being receptive, not asking for anything, but just simply knowing the truth mentally, and then resting for a few, well, for 30 seconds or a minute or two. If we haven't practiced that which we were taught in the Kailua study series, how to go from the letter to spirit, or how to go from the mind to listening, to receptivity, then we've left out that critical part. Can you see how the steps were designed to lead us from a person with a human mind to an inner experience of consciously being one, or conscious union with that divine presence, living itself as us? So if you've left out a critical part, then you have no choice. You need to go back and do it. Go back and begin to practice the presence throughout your day and night. Or go back and begin to practice meditation, real meditation. Not a lot of speaking, but only reminding yourself of truth enough so that you calm yourself and can get out of that mind which thinks truth. Because it's only in the practice of those two, practicing the presence and adding meditation, that you come to a place of being still enough and receptive enough and taking no thoughts enough to hear the still small voice, or to feel the movement of spirit, or to experience God's grace pouring through you as you. And this, of course, is what we all want. The Infinite Way is designed to take you by the hand and lead you into a new consciousness. And attaining that new consciousness, or experiencing that new consciousness, a consciousness not made by hands, a consciousness eternal in the heavens, you no longer need the Infinite Way, because the Infinite Way becomes your consciousness. It always was your consciousness, but you become aware of it. You have the conscious awareness of consciousness living itself. So, that's the whole purpose of the Infinite Way, to lead you to a point where consciousness lives as you. God lives itself as you. Now, this does not mean that you become an automaton or a robot. It means that, well, in the beginning, you start to have the inner experience of consciously being one, feeling the movement. And every time that you feel its movement, and every time that the voice utters itself, and every time that an impartation comes to you from the great invisible, and not from the mind, there is a change out here. Consciousness forms itself, and it always forms itself as fulfillment, peace, and joy. And so you know if you are really experiencing conscious union with God by the fruits. It's not a big mystery. You just have to look and see. Are you finding yourself in the right place at the right time without consciously thinking about it? Is harmony governing your affairs? Are you beginning to experience a straightening out of your concept of supply, where things come into your life that you haven't prayed for or thought about? Are you experiencing peaceful relations with the people in your you come in contact with in your consciousness? What is happening? Is there harmony in your affairs? Is your daily living experience becoming smoother, which means less and less physical difficulties to try and overcome? The fruits are that invisible presence, conscious union with it, and resting in it and feeling its movement and hearing its voice. The fruits are it forms itself, and you don't know what form it's going to take. I remember one time I called Herb Fitch and I said, "Herb, I don't understand. I keep meditating on love, and I think that God's going to show me how to love or appear as love, and instead I'm getting more and more dollar bills. Now, what is this?" I remember he said, "I think you're looking at this a little wrong." He said, "You have no right to draw an outline on how this is supposed to manifest. You can't sit down and try to funnel God into this or that or the other. You simply rest back and let God live itself." And he said, "Besides, the dollar bills are given to you so you don't have to worry about that. You don't even have to work on that. And that frees you up to pour out and love other people." So you see that love was manifesting. So we have no right to have a personal sense in the driver's seat. And that includes in our meditations. We have no right to be living a personal life. And we have no right to be meditating for some personal reason, even though we think we know what we need or what the person coming to us needs. Because we don't. We don't have any right idea. Now, I know this gets difficult when family members calls you and says, "Will you pray for me? I just lost my job." And of course, you become, if you're practiced and you've been practicing this for a while, you're able to say, "Yes, I will help you," and hang up the phone and become still without seeking anything and rest back and feel the presence. But if you open your eyes after that meditation and look around to see what new job opportunity or how supply is going to come to this person, then you are praying amiss. This is called praying amiss. You have a funnel. You have a mold, and you want God to fill it. God doesn't work that way. There's this thing called omniscience, and it functions in a million different points at the same time. And so it knows how to form itself and what is needed. And you don't have to direct it. And we've all had examples of that in our own lives, praying and praying for something that we are positive that we need, and it never manifests, and instead this other thing opens up, and in the end we find out that was what we needed, not what we thought. So this is part of emptying out of the human mind. You know, for centuries we have had a physical body which works for so long, and if it's sick it doesn't work so good, and later on it slows down and can't do things it used to do. And we've had a mind, a human mind, and that too is only good for so long. Sometimes in our youth we have obsessions of the mind driving us to do this or that or the other. And later we might have senility. We might have Alzheimer's. We might have dementia, and the mind begins to deteriorate. We can't remember things the way we used to. Sometimes it's so bad we don't even recognize our loved ones we've been with for 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. And then we die and we come back and we try it again. Now that's living in a human mind. And we all know how to do that. And we all know where that takes us. Eventually it kills us. It's a strange thing, but the mind that wants to be in charge all those years eventually kills itself. Now, if we're fortunate, we come across a spiritual path which reveals that there's another mind. Could be called the Buddha mind. Could be called the Tao. It could be called the mind which was in Christ Jesus. It could be called simply omniscience. It could be called is, which is the same as Tao, the Tao. So, we are fortunate when we learn there's another mind. And this mind, when we rest back and listen to it, it flows freely and it forms itself and begins to appear as a life out here. And it's your life, it's you. This great invisible spiritual substance, omniscience, forms itself in a moment ye think not. And if you are still and not thinking, and not choosing words, and not choosing the thoughts to think, simply looking, resting, being consciously aware, you experience it, you have conscious union with it. It moves through you. You and it are one. And then you simply watch in awe as it manifests itself, forms itself as your outer experience. Day after day after day. And then you are consciously aware to the point where you can say with Paul, I live, yet not I. Christ liveth my life. Christ liveth its life. And it's not a thing where you're bragging, and it's not a thing you have really attained. It is a conscious union you have become aware of. It is a new mind. It is the mind which was in Christ Jesus, which is now beginning to function, where before you only had a human mind. And now this mind which was in Christ Jesus is your mind. It's functioning as your life. It is you. And now you have a temple not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Once this mind begins functioning you, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Lo, I am with thee always. Forever and ever and ever, for infinity, you now have the Comforter, your very own inner spiritual consciousness, in which you can rest and be a beholder as it lives itself. It's wonderful, and it's full of wonder. More and more, says Joel, in the contemplative life, we must live life as a beholder. See, we didn't really know what that means the way we know now. More and more. Over and over, he says to us, we we begin our meditation by recognizing there's no patient out there. That's a mental concept in this human mind. And so we step out of that mind. We have nothing to do with it. We do not meet anything on that level. We drop it. Ah, but now we're stuck with us, the personal practitioner, the personal infinite way student, and God. And now he says we have to get rid of the person. We do that by realizing the mind, the human mind, is a series of universal beliefs. And so we're not going to hang on to it. We're not going to function through it. For just right now, we're going to be still. We're going to rest back in the great invisible. And we don't know what that is. We have no definition. We can't draw pictures of it. We just know that it is. It is I. Be not afraid. And we rest. And the words are important. We may say, O Father, fulfill thyself. And rest. We may say, Christ liveth. And rest. We may say, grace. And rest. But the point is, we rest back, listen, are receptive to I, the infinite. Be not afraid. It is I. And I am the way. Behold, I make all things new. I. Rest in the silence, for now we know the silence is not thinking. The silence is not no thought. We have learned the secret of secrets. The silence is no self. I am the way. Many are called, few are chosen. If you feel this inner self, this inner I, you feel it, I feel its movement. If you feel its movement, if you hear its voice, if you receive an impartation, a feeling of I, the invisible, then you are chosen. This is the chosen people of God. This is the chosen who will receive and be led into the new Jerusalem, the new city, the new consciousness, conscious union with God, the source. Says Joel in the book, The Infinite Way, you must come to the realization that you are source, you are cause, and not effect. conscious union with cause, with source, with God. And this I is what I am. I am cause. Behold, I make all things the new city. The new consciousness. And this awareness of self, of I, of God. This is your new consciousness for eternity. A 100 years from now, I will be your consciousness, and you will have conscious union with I. 500 years, 5,000 years, I. I was with thee before Abraham, and I am with thee now in this moment. Feel me, and I will always be with thee, for I am thee. Conscious union with I. And so in our inner meditation, we have conscious union with God, the center of our being, and rest there with no plans, ideas, thoughts, but most importantly, no self. And behold, I form myself as yourself, the only self, one. Yes, it was a long journey for many of us, coming to the infinite way, expecting trinkets, little healings. But this was just a trick of yourself to lead you back to yourself, in which you would receive the ultimate gift, God itself as your very being, and conscious awareness of this, of I. Now, listen. This, my friends, is from the book The Altitude of Prayer by Joel. And in the very first chapter, he points out this. Those of us on the spiritual path are building a temple, the temple of our consciousness. As human beings, we were born into a three-dimensional consciousness. A three-dimensional consciousness with our only faculties and capacities, the five physical senses, and the power of thought or reason. All of this applies to the human world. But now this sentence, none of it applies in any way to my kingdom. Something else is needed, isn't it? Another faculty, another mind, another self, a Christ self. So he says, this is why a person can pray and pray, rarely receiving an answer. And it is because no prayer that is uttered through the mind ever reaches the kingdom of God. Now, you must know this. You must really, if necessary, put it on a 3x5 card and put it on the wall next to where you meditate. Or use it as a bookmarker so you see it first thing. No prayer uttered through the mind ever reaches God. And so all these mental exercises, this is why you haven't received answered prayer. It's backwards, which is what the mind always is. It interprets everything backwards. And the mind thinks that if it prays, thinks these spiritual thoughts up to God, they'll reach God and God will respond. But, what is it he said here? Rarely receiving an answer to that prayer. Because no prayer uttered through the mind ever reaches God. Well, if we're going to experience answered prayer, we're going to have to use another faculty. And we're going to have to understand that prayer is not what the mind utters. Prayer is what the spirit within you utters. Prayer is what comes to you out of the mind which was in Christ Jesus. Prayer is the experience that comes to you, the movement that comes to you, the impartation that comes to you, the feeling that comes to you, the awareness that comes to you, the consciousness, the conscious union with. This is prayer. And it's a movement in your soul, not in your mind. And this prayer, uttered within you, is answered because it forms itself as your experience. And anything else is not prayer. So, he says, spiritual impartations, and that's the real prayer, begin to come to an individual when his soul faculties have been opened. All right, what does that mean? That means when you have discovered silence, then prayer can happen to you. Your soul can pray and then manifest itself. The center, the source, God, will utter itself. In other words, only God within you can pray. The human mind cannot pray. Only the mind which was in Christ Jesus uttering itself is prayer. And this is experienced when you know that silence is no self but God. And on the very next page, page 7, he says, the moment that we receive an impartation from within, whether it is only a feeling, or whether it thunders in the silence, or comes as a very gentle whisper, we can be assured that some part of this earth is beginning to dissolve. Some problem is going to yield. Some discord or inharmony is going to be removed from our experience. And in its place will come some grace from my kingdom. But always remember, my kingdom is not of this world, and so the blessing that we receive is always the blessing of my kingdom, a spiritual blessing. The blessing that you receive is the conscious union with God, the conscious feeling, the conscious awareness of the kingdom within. That's the spiritual blessing. And he says we have no way at all of knowing what form it will take on earth. One thing is certain, however, it will always come as the gift of God. Now, that's part of the fun. I mean, when I was a child, part of the fun was not knowing what presents I would open on Christmas morning. And part of the fun of resting back and allowing God to manifest itself part of the joy is seeing the beauties that it manifests as, that it forms itself as. Things we had no idea that we needed, yet things that we love. And above all, we love the source out of which they came. That's the first thing. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy might, heart, and soul. And so we love the source more than anything at all. But there's nothing wrong with loving also that which the source appears as, knowing that if it's appearing out here, it's temporary. So part of the fun is not having a plan and seeing it manifest itself. Father, glorify thyself, and then watch what wonders it performs. Now we read in our scripture, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. And so we know that the peace that the world gives is either from matter, and from having enough matter that we think we're okay, or from mind, from thinking we know what things we need and know what we're going to do. That's the human way. But my peace has nothing to do with any of those. And so, says Joel, my peace is something the human mind cannot grasp. Again, the human mind is pretty much worthless when it comes to prayer and understanding things of the spiritual realm, of the spiritual kingdom, of the spiritual self. And so it will not help you. And it can't even understand my peace. So the human mind is not going to help us. And that self must be surrendered to find the real silence. And in the real silence, the movement of Christ reveals itself first as an inner movement, voice, experience, awareness, union, and then as that consciousness formed. And every individual, he says, will find it taking the form necessary to his experience at the moment. And that's the beauty of it. So, what are we doing? What is this all about? We are building a temple, a consciousness, not made by body, not made by human mind, not made by thoughts. We are building a temple not made with hands. A temple invisible. A consciousness of the infinite invisible. A conscious awareness of the living spirit. Conscious union with Christ, which will never leave us nor forsake us. Eternal in the heavens. If you understood the gift of God, says Jesus Christ at the well, and who it is that's talking to you, you would have asked me, and I would have given you living waters that spring up into life everlasting. This source is yourself, and it will form itself more and more and more as your experience until the two become one. And the inner and the outer are one. And you are the living conscious union with God. And this will be your everlasting life. For eternity, this will be your awareness. Thus you understand to know God aright is conscious union for eternity. Now, let us be still for a moment. Let us drop any urgency or sense of needing something out here for ourselves or any other self. These are mental images. Let us drop them. Here in the inner temple, I would know thee, God, and so I will be still. I will be silent. I will be no self, just beholding. Christ liveth. God is, and I am the way. Be still. Be still. I am God. Have I been so long a time with you, and you have not experienced conscious union? Well, it's time. You have been chosen. Be still and know I am God. I will never leave thee now, for I am thee. And at the next plane, and the next plane, and the next plane, I am God, your center. And in this life, and in any other life, and in this form, and in any other form, male, female, or some form on some other planet, you will always have me at your center. I, the living Christ. And I have come that you might have life, real life, manifested abundantly. Feel me now. I am here. Consciousness is formed. The outer experience is formed. Cut out of the consciousness without hands. Stone is cut out of the mountain without hands. The outer experience is formed by infinite consciousness with no help. Simply be still and experience the grace of conscious union with I. Thank you very much for being with me in this consciousness today. Let us all stand still and behold the glory of God. Let us watch, let us be beholders as the Father glorifies itself, as consciousness forms itself. Infinite, invisible, pure spiritual consciousness forms itself eternally, infinitely.